Itch.io is now seeking a new payment processor so they can keep selling games with sensitive content. Plus, Nintendo is raising the price of the original Switch and some accessories. Tonight is August 3rd, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk.
Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is everyone, Aki Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters.
I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it.
Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say?
And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Time for more Hogwash. Another week. Another year. Year 20 plus 1 week. Or 2 weeks, or however you want to do it. Hello, everybody. And welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on our Twitch channel, thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, and I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But this is a podcast. I do understand that. You can join us on our Discord server, very low traffic, vognetwork.com/discord. We even have like a server tag now that you can put Vogue on your name for all those Discord servers you're on, all 100 or 200 that you're in. I'm in like 10, so that's a lot for me. But it just means I'm not very sociable, I guess. Anyway, you can join our Discord server. You could show off your other server tag in our Discord server. That's pretty cool too. All the other communities that are out there. Thank you so much. Breakman's here, so there's no intelligent messages to read. Sorry. That's a shame. I also want to say that in a couple weeks, we will not be here live. I will be at Dragon Con. I can't tell you what I'm doing yet. Maybe by the time I'm on the air next week, that's when that might be the earliest that the schedule goes live. But the schedule is not finalized until Dragon Con's over. And even then, timey-wimey, they, you know, might retroactively change your schedule even when it's over. I've got some really good stuff lined up, both gaming-related and not gaming-related and not digital media-related. I'm actually kind of excited about some of this stuff. And I can't wait to tell you all about it. But I would not be surprised if my boss is my Dragon Con boss is watching and knows that and hopes that I don't actually say what it is. Unfortunately, HDI Andrew, how you doing? Andrew's posted where some of the places he's going to be from the Georgia Game Developer Association. Unfortunately, I have been asked not to share because I will say I work with main programming at Dragon Con now, and all of that's still in flux. People coming in, people not able to make it, thinking like that. So, I am a secret agent right now, but hopefully by the 10th, I won't be. I hope memberships are still available. In fact, I believe single day memberships are now available for Dragon Con. They are going to sell out. You can get them. They started on August 1st, which was 2 days ago when we're recording this. I will say that we what we can say is that we are going to be working with the Digital Media Track on Thursday night for a content maker mixer. Say that 8 times fast, I guess. We did this networking event last year and it went over so well. So we're doing it again. Rob and I from Voice of Geeks Network, we are going to be running that again on Thursday night. So if you only want to come for one night, Thursday, I think it's $35 to go to Thursday Dragon Con. It doesn't get you into anything else, but it gets you there Thursday and you can meet us and all that stuff. So I look forward to Dragon Con and being able to see a bunch of people that I hadn't seen in a bit there. But let's go ahead and get into some of the stuff that I want to talk about this week. This is actually, I don't actually read the comments section on the website because you can't create a new account on the website anymore. Login's kind of janky on our website. I have been working on rebuilding it during my uh, my fun employment, which ends tonight, basically. So I didn't get far enough to build a whole new website in the couple of weeks that I had. But I did actually come across this comment. This is from YYR, and it's about a topic we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I had asked, we were talking about how Xbox was getting rid of the movies and TV store. And they abruptly got rid of it. And I said, well, nobody used it anymore. Like, nobody's used it in the last 10 years. And I put up a poll, and it was like 83% of our chat room that voted in the poll said, I haven't bought a movie or a TV show from Xbox specifically in the last 10 years. So, there were, like, you know, the 13 to 15% of the chat room had. But YYR posted on the comment section of the episode and said, I don't know if you still check here for comments. I really don't, but I saw it. I saw a little one. Said, I was one of the people who had purchased quite a number of items from Microsoft Movies and TV over the last 10 years. In a world where you basically get to pick your corporate overlord, I had chosen Microsoft. And several times a year, they'd have sales on anime seasons, movie bundles, and TV seasons for ridiculously low prices. Where else could you buy entire anime seasons for $5, most of which is not for sale physically? And of course, they had the new releases too, and they're connected with Movies Anywhere. So if you were all in on Xbox like I am, it made sense to use them as your digital content provider. Another thing, as the Xbox Store supports user reviews, you could read user reviews of these movies and TV shows right on your console. It still works for games, but all of those reviews on video content are now just gone. Some may scoff at user reviews, but on Xbox, they're a really good source for detailed information that bigger media will gloss over because users nitpick everything. So yeah, I will miss this. So that's a very good and interesting perspective. I wanted to hear from people that had used it recently because a lot of people have moved over to streaming where they don't own their content or something at least that was tied to Movies Anywhere, which if you had your Xbox account tied to Movies Anywhere, you don't necessarily lose everything, but that's only in the U.S. And I do know YYR is here in the U.S. So, you know, I saw it as them getting rid of something that wasn't making enough money to keep around, and the goodwill of it existing doesn't really help. Because I know some people are like, well, yeah, even if it didn't make money, why not just keep it going? And Microsoft's got some AI stuff they got to build, and they're laying off people at studios, they're canceling games and all that. They're not going to keep a storefront that very few people use. Not nobody, but very few people use. And HDI Andrew says in our chat room, good online user reviews are critical, especially for games. Remember to support your favorite games by reviewing them on Steam, GOG, Itch, and everywhere else. And that is absolutely true, especially in the game world, because Steam absolutely uses those user reviews. And you've got to get, in order to get like overwhelmingly positive, I think what you have to have at least 50 reviews. There's a good percentage that have to be positive. So it really does help leaving a review. HDI Andrew also said the decline in Xbox video use is really telling, especially since Microsoft really developed the Xbox as the one machine to rule the living room. And I think the what happened there, and I actually went into a little more in depth in this a couple weeks ago, but I've had a couple more weeks to think about it, is that Microsoft, it really seemed that Microsoft was really pushing digital content, and they wanted to set the stage, and I think they maybe wanted to be the leader, but then other companies that specialized in digital content of movies and television kind of took the reins, and Microsoft's like, you know what, we're going to back off now. I do remember I heard hearsay, so this is, you know, I heard it on the internet, so it must be true. It might not be. But I did hear that the reason back in the format wars when Sony backed Blu-ray and put Blu-ray in the PS3 and Microsoft seemingly backed HD DVD, even though they didn't put it out on the Xbox 360, they released a separate player. I did hear through the grapevine that what Microsoft actually wanted to win was digital downloads. They felt at the time, even in 2006 and 2005, that digital was the future, and they backed something that went up against Blu-ray kind of in the hopes that both would fail and that we would basically just have digital downloads and just digital movies and no physical media. This was back in 2005 and 2006, and that's why Pod Culture even in chat says Microsoft half-assed supported HD DVD, and I think that's why they did it, just so Blu-ray wouldn't become the clear favorite, in the hopes that digital would overtake them both. And it did. And even if that anecdote is not true and Microsoft didn't think like that, that's exactly what happened. There was a fracturing a little bit. Blu-ray did wind up winning out, but the seeds of digital distribution were being laid. And, you know, that was when Netflix started doing their streaming and they weren't a direct-to-DVD, just a DVD mailer anymore. So, Redertainment says streaming video is what has won out, being led by porn, and like the winner of many other format wars. And that's why VHS beat Betamax. Same thing. And Bonds 006, who says Microsoft wanted to split the market then so they can dominate with digital download later. And then they did, but then other companies came in and dominated even more, which is why we have seen the abrupt closure of Xbox and TV storefront on the Microsoft side. So, yes. And Esther and Matt also says, also be sure to write a nice review for your favorite podcast. That would be nice. I think the last review for this podcast is like from like 12 years ago. And it was by somebody who didn't like me, which is fine. Not everybody likes me. It's great. That's why there's 10,000 gaming podcasts out there, because if you don't like one, you can listen to another one. So let's get into the news. And this is a story I've actually been covering for several weeks now. It didn't seem like a big deal at first for a lot of people. I saw the slippery slope, but then it is basically blown up in the last 2 weeks. And I am talking about the payment processors saying, we don't want people to use our payment system to buy content that some people find objectionable. So we've been talking about this. They've gone after Steam. They've gone after itch.io. It's a group out of Australia of about 1,000 people called Collective Shout, and they want to get rid of, on the surface, what they want is actually pretty good. They want to get rid of, like, you know, incest and a lot of, like, super objectionable content that any reasonable person would say that's objectionable. However, the problem is what there are also people who find things that I find not objectionable to be objectionable. And they're also most likely the ones to make the rules. So this is the slippery slope that's going on. And itch.io is the latest one that has come under fire by the community, because the itch.io, unfortunately, does not have the manpower that Steam does. And they had to make a blanket, very broad chainsaw to a lot of content so they could still operate as a business, because the payment processors were probably like, if you don't do something and do something quick, we are not going to let you make money anymore. And then the entire site would be gone. So Rock Paper Shotgun reports that itch.io have announced that they are seeking out a new payment processing partner who is more willing to handle the purchase of not safe for work games after delisting or removing a vast swath of games in accordance with the current content restrictions of companies such as PayPal and Stripe. They've also offered an explanation for why they've recently delisted so many more infringing games than Steam, which has carried out its own cull of sexually explicit games under pressure from finance firms. Finally, itch have acknowledged that their recently posted list of newly prohibited adult material is far too vague to be useful. So according to an addendum on itch's latest statement about this content, the difference in scale between each platform's bandwidth is a result of, firstly, Valve being a much larger corporation with greater capacity to challenge the payment firms, and secondly, Valve exerting tighter control over adult game developers to begin with. On Steam, product pages have to be approved before they will appear on the store. Quote, itch says, quote, because they were generally aware of the content they host, they could identify and act on specific pages, unquote. So by contrast, itch is open-ended. Quote, anyone can publish content at any time with minimal barriers, unquote. It's possible to tag itch game pages as having adult material, but itch comment that, quote, we could not rely on user-provided tagging to be accurate enough for a targeted approach, so a broader review was necessary to be thorough, unquote. So there's no timeline for when Itch's audit will be complete, at least not at least because they're waiting on final determinations. They say, quote, final determinations from our current payment processors, Stripe and PayPal, unquote. They are, however, now getting in touch with alternative payment processors who are more willing to handle the kind of material Stripe and PayPal consider objectionable. They're also looking at stricter age gating for Itch and better content classification. Not coincidentally, the International Game Developer Association have just put out a statement in which they appease all sides by, quote, calling for greater transparency and fairness in how adult games are moderated and actioned across major platforms, unquote. The statement does list a couple of adult industry compliant processors. So, you know, things like Verotel and CC Bill. So there are payment processors out there that are more willing to handle this, that type of stuff. Podculture in chat earlier said he's never worked for any of those that would allow that. But there are some out there because there is money to be made with that type of content. And people are willing to pay it. Businesses are willing to take money for it. And that means a payment processor out there is willing to take a cut of that payment. There exists a market and somebody's out there willing to take it. Unfortunately, it's not the mainstream ones that we've been working with a lot. ZenMonkey11 says, I need to check out my Itch library to make sure those games are still there. So the article on Rock, Paper, Shotgun said delisting, and that is not true. All they have done so far is de-indexed, and they are withholding payments. But Itch itself has not taken down any content, and anything that you have previously purchased is still available. However, I believe they do say you probably should download it, because that's one of Itch's things. Is you can download it. There's no DRM on it. And you know, keep a backup of it. So they're going to be talking to other payment processors because they don't have the pull that Valve does. They don't have the lawyers that Valve does. I think that somebody said Itch only has like 10 employees. Like, it's a very small company, itch.io. And Podculture says the problem will be that their cost of processing cards will go up quite a bit. And unfortunately, that is true. And that means that the prices of games are going to rise because they're going to pass that on to you, the consumer. It's going to be an adult tax, and it's probably going to go across the board because they're not going to do something where, oh, you know, this game's above board, so you can use PayPal or Stripe. But this game's not. So you're going to have to use CC Bill or something like that. They're not going to do that. It's going to be across the board. They're probably going to, you know, have to ditch PayPal and Stripe. And they're going to lose customers that way because there are customers that they pay using PayPal. And when PayPal's no longer an option, Itch is no longer an option for them. So they're going to lose people no matter what. And that's the power that the payment processors hold right now. And this is a very bad slippery slope. And why should the payment processors dictate what type of content you should be able to purchase with it? Why should they care what you're buying through their system? I don't get that. Other people do. That's why this is happening. I don't get it. Redertainment says, I wonder if there will be a game seller that splits off and founds a new adult-only site. That way, the people who need to pay more will pay and others won't. And that would fracture the community. And I, you know, that would be good for the consumer. I agree. I don't know if that would be better for the developers and the content creators that make that, because you've limited your audience, because there are some people that won't go over there. We already see it now where people are like, if it's not on Steam, I don't care. And so maybe they're like, if it's not on Itch, I don't care. And if somebody else makes another site and those stuff's not on Itch anymore, they're going to be like, well, I'm already on Itch. I've already got my big library on Itch. So Podculture says adult material has a massive risk of chargebacks and disputes. That is also a reason, yes, but it is not as much of a reason as the campaign by people in Australia, the 1,000 people. Only 1,000 people that said this is morally wrong. The chargebacks and disputes, not as much of it's not as common as you're made to think. It's more common with that type of stuff, but it's not as common as you think, and that's not the main reason that they are pulling that stuff. And Rob Roberts does say that there's a friendly reminder that you only have 3.5 hours left to claim your horny game collection. If you are a GOG user, G-O-G, go to freedomtobuy.games. So, yes, G-O-G latching on to the bandwagon. However, it's interesting because it's all free, which means they don't have to worry about the payment processor saying you can't buy these games. GOG has been very good about jumping on big moments like this and promoting their stuff, like the preservation stuff. And they're doing that here. And it's like, I looked at it and I'm like, okay, well, there's Postal 2. And then there's a bunch of horny games. And I'm like, you know what? I respect that type of art. I'm glad that it exists for people, as long as it's not exploitative, and those aren't, most of those aren't. It's not for me, and I don't necessarily need it in my GOG library. Now, Itch has brought some stuff back, and this was something that because it's about this is about the payment processors, right? Well, Engadget reports that Digital Storefront Itch is re-indexing the free adult games and is talking to its partner payment processors about the plans to gradually reintroduce not safe for work content. In a new developer update, the company said the decision will ensure that it can, quote, confidently support the widest range of creators in the long term, unquote. Notice they say the widest range of creators. Not every creator that has posted something on Itch is going to be able to be supported in the future. And that sucks. But, you know, it's either they do this or they support no creators and they go away. Itch has instructed developers and creators who want their games back on the store to tick a no payments box that sits in the pricing section of a game's edit page. It adds that any game that uses individually priced files will have those files converted into free content by checking the box. The company is also introducing a new content warning system for NSFW tagged pages, which it says all page owners are required to update accordingly before being re-indexed. Itch said it has talked to one of its long-standing payment processors, Stripe, about its policies on explicit adult content and said it will no longer be able to take payments for games deemed to be, quote, designed for sexual gratification, unquote, via the platform. This is due to new restrictions enforced by Stripe's banking partners. In a statement included from the Itch update, Stripe said it hasn't closed the door on the possibility of being able to support adult content again in the future. In the meantime, Itch says it's talking to its other payment partners about accepting the card payment Stripe is currently no longer able to process. So, even and here, you can even say, well, it's not Stripe, it's the banks. Because there's some financial institution involved with all of these things. MasterCard came out with like a non-statement, which I didn't put in my show notes, but MasterCard came out and we're like, well, we didn't really. We always had these guidelines, and you should have followed them a little sooner. So they've come out and said that, and this is, like I said, this is a, I'm worried about the future. I keep saying the word slippery slope, and I'm going to try not to say that again, but you never know. I'm an amateur. I'm not a professional. But right now, what they want to get rid of, I may personally agree with. The very, very explicit stuff that I may personally agree with. But there are people that believe that just having an LGBT couple, that is also sexually explicit. And that's where this can go. Just having a relationship between two gay men, well, suddenly, now you can't use Stripe to buy that game. Now, would you be allowed to use Stripe to buy a DVD of Brokeback Mountain? Yeah, absolutely. But games, maybe not. Because there's the, out there, there's a lot of people to believe that video games are still, to this day, for children. All video games are for children. Has never been true. And you would think that the people who are now old enough to remember, they, you know, when that games weren't always for children, you would think that they would get it, but they don't. Because unfortunately, the people that are really getting in charge are there's still people way older in charge, but then it's people my age. And my age, a lot of people my age are like, well, yeah, of course I played Nintendo when I was a child. And then I grew up because all games are for children. And it's really going to be, if we're going to wait it out, which I don't know if we have the time to wait it out, it's going to be the people that were children when Grand Theft Auto 3 and San Andreas. And they're coming in, like these are the people that are, you know, in their 30s now, but they're not in positions of power yet. They're the ones that probably know that not all games are for children. And it's not going to be until they get into the world and start running things that we will get kind of move away from this video games are for children. Because for them, not all video games have been for children their entire life. Whereas people my age, video games were kids play when we were kids. The Breakman says, two men kissing is more offensive to bigots than graphic depictions of violence. Too bad. There are some men that are really good kissers. And Dark Tosia says, there are a handful of 2,600 games that I guarantee you are not for kids. And those were not readily available. Those were not widely available. It was not easy to get your hand on games from Mystique, which is the company that put them out. They were not sold in Toys R Us. You know, they were not in the kids section. That's really the root of it, is that people still believe all video games are for children. All video game music is still bleeps and bloops. And they believe that it is not a legitimate art form to explore sensitive topics. Because even on Itch and on Steam, some games that have been, you know, removed, de-indexed, or have their page taken down, was about somebody's internal suffering. It was them telling their story in an interactive form, like one was a text adventure about where, you know, how they got through their childhood of sexual assault. But because it had sexual assault in it, it's no longer able to be sold. Like, Steam doesn't want to sell it anymore. Itch took it down. But if it was a movie, it'd be winning awards, and, you know, it'd be in, you know, you'd be able to watch it on a streaming service somewhere. But movies are not only child's play. Movies are not just for kids. In the 1920s, they were. It was kids' fantasy stuff. And it took a couple generations to get out of the mindset that movies and, you know, that was only for kids. It was only, you know, vaudeville comedians, you know, Charlie Chaplin making you laugh with silly walks and stuff like that. Redertainment says, there's also politicians who seek to remain in their positions of power, so they make appeals to certain people regardless of what those politicians actually think. Breakman says, to me, this sounds a lot like just an excuse to discriminate against LGBT, as always. We see this right now in the world, in the politics, where they're like, you know, well, you know, drag queens should not be reading books to children. Someone wearing drag should not be able to be reading books to children. But, you know, a woman with a bunch of makeup and wearing a dress, like, you know, like from my age, you know, Tammy Faye Baker, or, you know, I mean, hell, even Dolly Parton to an extent, they're allowed to read books for children. But apparently somebody else doing the exact same thing, that's suddenly sexually explicit. And we're going to start seeing that here, because this group, they wanted to get rid of Detroit Become Human. That was one of their first targets, was the game Detroit Become Human, because it was too graphic. They hide what their intent is by making it sound good on the surface. Because am I personally okay with games that are, you know, Japanese visual novels about incest not being available on the Steam store? Personally, I'm okay with that. Personally. That should not dictate anybody else's policy. And if it was just that, maybe I know I'm not the best person for thinking this, but I personally would be like, okay, that's fine. But I know that's not where it's stopping. And so I'd rather fight for it here, even though I have absolutely no desire to purchase or consume that content in any way, shape, or form. I'd rather speak up about it now, here, before they get to content that I actually do care about. before they go for people who, you know, are trying to tell their story in an interactive medium, but suddenly that's graphically explicit, when if it was a movie, it would be award-winning. S. Chernomat says, you also don't force to close the Louvre if there's a painting some people don't like. You give folks the choice to see it or not and tastefully display it for the folks who want to see it if they desire. There are people that do protest against some museums for having certain things. So there are people that believe that museums should only show the things that they want them to see. So that's the latest here. Itch is trying to do what they can. But like I said, they are a 10-person company. They don't have the money that Valve does. Valve apparently is trying to talk with payment processors and are trying to do something. So they're just a little more quiet about it because they're Valve and they can do that. Itch is trying to, you know, vocalize a little bit more and kind of explain themselves, because there was a huge community backlash when they did this. And there were people that were like, everybody needs to pull their stuff off of Itch, because they're throwing LGBT creators under the bus. It's no longer a safe space, when they panicked. And maybe they didn't do the right thing, but they panicked, and they're trying to keep their storefront open for, I would kind of guess, the majority of people that don't fall under this category. But that doesn't mean that the people who are affected by this are lesser than or anything like that. They have just, I believe they have just as much of a right to be there and make money off their content and for people to buy their content as anybody else. So let me get to this last story here. And because this is something that we also predicted, and this is about hardware prices. This is about payment, except this is stuff you can actually buy, and you're going to have to pay a little bit more to the government just to buy this, because trust me, this money's going to the government. It's not going to Nintendo. But IGN reports that Nintendo has announced a range of price rises for various OG Switch products in the U.S. and warned price rises for the Switch 2 video games, the Nintendo Switch Online membership, maybe coming down the line. Now, I don't understand why the Switch Online membership, because there's no tariffs on that. Unless the roundabout, the only way that I could think, if I think in, like, you know, dumb corporate brain, right, is, well, computer equipment, server equipment, hardware, a lot of that stuff's not built in the U.S. It may be assembled in the U.S., but it's not built in the U.S. And so most of those components that go into those servers probably come from China or from Thailand or Vietnam or something like that, where there's going to be probably 50% tariffs. We don't know. They've gotten paused again. But, you know, I know from the EU it's 15%. It used to be 1.5%. Now it's 15%, and we called that a win, and it's great for American consumers somehow. But anyway, why they might say that for the online stuff is because even though you're getting a digital product, there are physical things that run that, and the price of all of those is going to go up, so they need to raise prices of the subscription. Now, you may think that's BS, and, you know, I tend to agree with you, because the wages of the sysadmins that are running that aren't going up, that's for sure. But that may be why they're saying, oh, the Nintendo Switch Online membership may have to go up. It's because it's going to be more expensive for them to add more servers or replace servers because, you know, servers break. The price rises, which are based on market conditions, a.k.a. tariffs, come into effect today, August 3rd. They're effect now. So assuming the new prices that were shown on Target, which they were actually shown on Target, Target's website, are true. So this is what it is. The Nintendo Switch, the OG Nintendo Switch, is now $339, $340, up from $300. The Nintendo Switch OLED edition is now $400, up from $350, so it's up to $50. The Nintendo Switch Lite, the one that doesn't dock, is now $230, up from $200, so it went up $30. Alarmo, if you didn't get Alarmo, it's no longer $100. It went up $10. It's now $110. And then the Joy-Con 2 controllers, so these are for the Switch 2, are now $100, up from the $95. So they went up $5. So this announcement comes a month after Nintendo signaled price rises in Canada, which were also based on market conditions. Nintendo has yet to go into further detail. I don't understand the Canada one, because they're not tariffing everybody. In today's announcement, Nintendo said that the newly launched Switch 2 physical and digital Nintendo Switch and Nintendo Switch 2 games, as well as the Nintendo Switch Online membership, will not be impacted by the impending price adjustment, although all models of the original Switch are impacted. Certain Switch 2 accessories, Select Amiibo, remember those? And the Nintendo SoundClark Alarmo will also see their prices go up. So, in a post on the website, Nintendo says, quote, pricing for the original Nintendo Switch family of systems and products will change in the United States based on market conditions, effective August 3rd, 2025, which is today. These include Nintendo Switch OLED model, Nintendo Switch, Nintendo Switch Lite, and its select Nintendo Switch accessories. Other Nintendo products, including certain Nintendo Switch accessories, Select Amiibo, and the Nintendo SoundClark Alarmo, will also see adjustments. Pricing for the Nintendo Switch 2 system, physical and digital Nintendo Switch and Nintendo Switch 2 games, as well as Nintendo Switch Online memberships will remain unchanged at this time. However, please note that price adjustments may be necessary in the future. Unquote. So that is not them necessarily saying they're going to raise prices, but they're just covering their butts because they don't want to be like, well, we're never going to raise prices on that. They might. I mean, Xbox Live's raised prices, PlayStation Network's raised prices, Nintendo Switch Online at some point is going to raise prices as well, and the justification may be, well, servers are more expensive now because you have to import the components are made in China, they're made in Asia, and the government's taking 50%. S. Jeronimat says Switch 1 is still in production, and those prices for those components, while technically outdated, still cost that to make, and they have more that those prices to manufacture have gone up. Yeah, and ZMonkey11 says, Nintendo already disappointed when they took away the gold points. And yeah, I miss those too. I'm sad about that as well. Well, it's too late now. You should have gotten your Switch before. I mean, you can get them used. The places that are selling those used probably are also going to raise the price. You know, opportunistic. And the prices are not going to go down. They'll eventually go down for this stuff, but a lot of times, like, once game prices go up, Nintendo doesn't drop them. But we're not there yet, and who knows if they're going to do another $80 game. Xbox already said we're not doing $80 games, and so Nintendo may follow suit soon. So we are going to take a quick music break, and then we'll talk to Rob about some of this stuff and about games. About some fun games. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show and the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Hey, this is Aaron Toplitzky, a.k.a. YYR, and you're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring the best, the very best, as in number one, numero uno, most super multitasker in the world, in our hearts. The one and only Bobby Blackwolf on the VOG Network at VOGNetwork.com.
That's right, I'm multitasking. Obviously multitasking. Trying to like stop music and start music all at once. Yes, thank you so much. YYR also left a comment earlier, so I figured I'm going to play a YYR bumper. So if you want to leave a bumper, you don't have to leave a comment, but you do need to get in touch with me, probably on our Discord server, VOGNetwork.com/Discord. And you can, something about coming back to the Bobby Blackwell Show, make it just your voice, and it can be a video, it can be your video as well, but I will choose which DMCA violation to put behind it. So I'll try to be good about it and make it relevant and stuff like that. So thank you so much for that. So before we get into anything like that, I do want to mention that this is, and I'm so sorry, so Pod Culture, hang on. But before you drink or anything like that, give me 1 second before you leave, because he doesn't like when I talk about sports. But this is the greatest sports weekend of the year. You've already missed it. And but it was ESPN 8, The Ocho. So in the movie Dodgeball, if you remember that movie, Dodgeball was... took place on ESPN 8 The Ocho, because they were making a joke that, you know, ESPN had so many cable channels and things like that. So ESPN ran with it several years ago, and they have now decided that they're going to spend an entire weekend, usually in August. Get it? Originally it was August 8th but now they've kind of made it in August. And they've put in all these other off-the-wall competitions, and they basically air them. They air them on ESPN, too. Now, I actually have Fubo TV right now, and on Fubo, they actually have an ESPN 8 The Ocho channel, which I don't know if all the cable companies have that, but it's one of those, like, channels that just re-air stuff, so it's kind of neat. But they do have some video gaming content as well. They actually had some pinball finals, so actual pinball competitions. Stern had a pinball competition a couple years ago, but this is another one. I have not watched any of it yet. As Jared and Matt asked, anybody watch anything? And I hadn't watched it yet, but I did record a whole bunch of things. There was diving chess, and I have not watched diving chess yet. But it is literally the way that it read is that you're playing, there is a chessboard at the bottom of a pool, and you have to dive down and make your move before you come back up for air. And so one person dives down, makes their move, come back up. The next person dives down. I think that's what it is. Have I watched it yet? No, I have not. But it's on, I've got it recorded, and we're going to watch it at some point. They did have, I didn't record the Golden Tee stuff. They've got a Golden Tee competition. The National Excel Championships apparently has a competitive, it has a hardcore theme song. They had the Competitive Excel Championships. I have seen that before, where it's like, it's essentially, they give these people who know everything about Excel. They know more about Excel than Microsoft does because there's like hidden macros and everything. And they're like, here is a very complex problem to solve. You have to create an Excel spreadsheet to solve this problem. And they have like 30 minutes. And it's fascinating. It's so they actually did air the competitive Excel championships. They also got weird stuff like the T-Rex races, where it's people in those inflatable T-Rex costumes all racing. There was one thing called the Donk Toss, which is literally like throwing an inflatable donkey and trying to get it to land in funny combinations. Like, that was something. And this is all on ESPN 8 The Ocho that aired on ESPN 2 this weekend. So it is the greatest sports weekend of the year, is when they air all of these the National Pillow Fight Championships. There was the Goodyear Blimp race this year, because I think it's the 100th anniversary of the Goodyear Blimp. And Sharon and Matt's like, roof football was fun, which is basically throwing a ball on the roof and catching it before your opponent. And yeah, so there's all these interesting non-sports things that they turn into a sport. My thing that I want to have, see, is I would love to see, because I work with Games Done Quick. I've done a lot of stuff with Games Done Quick, the speedrunning marathon, but I wish there was a way that at GDQ they could do, and it'd have to be like a very popular game, like a Super Mario Brothers or something that takes roughly 20 minutes, and have a four-player race filmed at GDQ, but re-edited for ESPN 8 The Ocho. I think that would be fabulous, is have, you know, you would have different commentators. You wouldn't have, like, I wouldn't be involved if I was hosting it, you know, because they wouldn't use the audio from us, you know, reading donations or anything like that. But it would be showcasing speedrunning of, like, Super Mario Brothers 1 is what it would have to be, or Super Mario 3 or something like that, something recognizable to the average ESPN viewer, and having that on the Ocho. They actually already have the Tetris tournament over at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo. They have the Tetris finals. They've had that for several years. So they have video game content on ESPN 8. So, yeah. And Pod Culture says, in real sports, there was a baseball game at Bristol Motor Speedway. Yes, and my Braves finally won after after the rain delay. But yeah, they had that going on. And S. Jernamat says, Banana Ball, which is it's a variation of baseball that's more entertainment than baseball, was the main event of the weekend, and it's amazing. Imagine Harlem Globetrotters meets baseball, except the ending is not scripted. Banana Ball is amazing. It's baseball. It takes place in 2 hours. They've changed a lot of the rules to make it more entertaining for the fans. And it is not scripted like the Harlem Globetrotters. The Harlem Globetrotters, the basketball team, always beat the Washington Generals. They actually do play baseball. The players are not necessarily good enough to be in the major leagues, They're usually like they cast out of minor leagues or they play collegiate ball, but they still actually do try. They actually do play. They actually have some good players on there. They're all good players, but they also have to do TikTok dances and things like that. So you should check that out at some point. Coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them and see what's going on in their world. I'm pretty sure he didn't watch ESPN 8 The Ocho, but that's fine. But some of us did. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, and I sure didn't watch that. But I saw some of the highlights in Discord, so
yeah.
Good enough.
I'm sure, yeah. The good stuff's going to be out there. You're going to be able to find on YouTubes or something like that. Because a lot of these are YouTube productions that they just put ESPN branding on. That they do. Like, a lot of the stuff, it's like, you could find their YouTube channel, and it's got, like, this stuff all year. And then they package, like, a 30-minute thing for ESPN for this event for awareness, which I think is pretty cool.
That's a pretty clever idea. I don't hate it. I like the idea of ESPN just putting different things on there, especially, you know, this weekend happens to be, you know, the Evo fighting tournament.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of that stuff that would make for great stuff for ESPN.
Yeah.
Certainly more interesting than like Cornhole and some of the stuff they show. Actually, right. I'm not going to hate on Cornhole.
Well, Cornhole came out of ESPN 8.
Yeah, right.
So and why Cornhole got popular and for on ESPN is because ESPN 8 actually debuted in like 2018 or whatever. And in 2020, yeah. Cornhole was one of the few sports you could do live in the summer
right.
of 2020 because you weren't anywhere near. You were
that's
six
right.
feet away from everybody else. So that's why it got like main billing. And that's when like esports and stuff, like at least iRacing, they never did any of the fighting games. But like that's when iRacing got really popular on ESPN. And there was the Overwatch stuff for a bit, like even ABC.
Yeah.
Here at Overwatch, but like Evo and the fighting games, I had not really.
Yeah, it's I think some of it gets tricky with like trademark and stuff because, you know, basketball's one thing. Nobody really owns basketball. I mean, you could say like the NBA, but even that is like a whole system of trademarks yeah. and so forth that, you know, companies that want to broadcast that have to bid and win the, you know, auction to be able to have the, you know, Sacramento Kings or the,
yeah.
you know, Los Angeles, why can't I remember any of the team names right
yeah.
now? LA Clippers? Is that one?
There's one of them, yeah.
Okay. So can, you know, to broadcast those things on TV. And I think it's something similar with video games. You can't just say, I'm going to broadcast a video game on TV because you have to have the rights to be able to do that, right? So you can't just say, oh, we're going to broadcast, you know, Tekken without having Namco's buy-in and
right.
Namco in Japan at that, it gets really muddy. You know, Overwatch may be a little different just because I think Blizzard was kind of actively trying to put that out there with the Overwatch League. I think they were trying to treat it like the NBA and get the sort of same type of deals, but you can't just put any old
right.
video game up there, which again, going back to our back in the old days of Orange Lounge Radio, when we talked about Dance Dance Revolution, there was all the discourse around should Dance Dance Revolution be an Olympic sport. And, you know, as fun as the idea is, there's a lot of problems with it. Number one, you know, a company sort of creates the game and has their own trademarks and so forth around it. And on top of that, the music is licensed. So you have these music licenses in it as well. So it gets very muddy, and it just was never going to work financially to take a risk on something like DDR as an Olympic sport.
And I will say, even on the Ocho, there are actually some sports where they've like, I think it's called like Omega Ball or Tech Ball, which is a variation of table tennis, but it's using their patented board and stuff, so that we're seeing that in sports where people are like inventing their own sports that they own to try to get that licensing, and they're trying to get that in here now. So
yeah, looking at comments in chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork, S209Matt says everyone in competitive darts has WWE style entrances. Well, and they ought to have it for curling as well, to be quite honest. And Redertainment says the WNBA owns basketball. Rob Roberts confirms. No, I do. The WNBA, I always had more fun at those games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doubling down. I own that comment.
let's see. The last time I've been to an NBA game was probably 30 years ago. The last time I've been to a WNBA game was last year.
Well, they got rid of our WNBA team like 15 years ago. Yeah. So womp womp.
Womp womp. So... This, the itch.io story is getting, like, the payment processor thing, that's becoming a much bigger thing than I think.
Yeah,
like,
the planning's working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's... And some, you know, making the calls are working, but also I think, you know, it helps that, you know, Valve and Itch can see that there is public support for them, even though Itch got a lot of ire in the very beginning because of how scorched earth they went so quickly. I think, you know, they're seeing that the community is behind them, and hopefully that's helping with the payment processors.
Once the internet started using its critical thinking skills, which is not always quick to do, they realize that Itch is not the villain in this story.
Yeah. But for a hot minute, they were. And everybody boycott Itch. And I'm like, and a lot of the saner people were like, wait a minute. They can only do so much. And Valve, but I'm happy to see that Valve's actually trying to fight back a little bit too. They don't have to be as vocal about it, but they've been vocal a little bit, which is more than what we usually get from Valve.
Yeah. So I'm very curious to see what happens, although honestly, I think this is just kind of at that point where we're looking at calls for the government to step in and do something about this, even if it's just at the state level, even if like California did something to, you know, against like the payment processors and what they can and can't say they can process. It would be hugely impactful on the industry. I just don't trust our government to do anything right now.
No.
Especially not in this sort of favor. And so the reality is, I think we're going to end up in a little bit of a holding pattern on this for quite some time. It stinks, but that's I really think that's just the reality of it, sadly.
Yeah.
But by all means, keep making noise.
Yes, please keep making noise. If you're calling, please keep calling. Be nice to the person on the phone, because they're not the ones making the policy, but they do have to log that you talked to them and took up time. Because those metrics are what they actually look at, is how long you're keeping them on the phone. So, Switch games are getting a little more expensive. We're finally seeing that. Or not Switch games, but Switch consoles and stuff. They're finally getting more expensive. We kind of saw that coming. Even though,
well, like, everything's going to get more expensive. Yeah. So brace yourselves, kids.
Yes. This is why you need to put things in. Save some away if you can. Not everybody can. That's the problem. Our wages aren't going up for these tariffs. And the other things, so.
And it's those people who can't save that are getting hurt the most
by
this stuff.
I know.
And meanwhile, the people at the top are saying, let them eat cake.
Yep.
But there's tariffs on Betty Crocker, so.
That's right, unfortunately. Because you can't build bananas here. If we just built bananas here, banana prices would be low, but we're...
Yeah, why can't we just grow the coffee in Texas? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah. Every coffee for every U.S. person should be from Hawaii, and that's it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that has no cost of transportation from that far. What else? What are you going to be talking about on Orange Lunch Radio tonight?
Well, we'll talk about what else is going on in games, including a pretty beefy Nintendo Direct this week. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened out of the Nintendo Direct. We're also going to talk about some rumors, your favorite, Bobby, about the PlayStation 6. But we're not going to say it's the definitive, like, this is what's happening with the PS6. We just kind of want to say, what would you think if this was the direction things went? We'll also talk about, THQ Nordic released some more news and updates this week as well. So we'll get into all that more. Up next on OLR.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly. Or you can join us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. It's where we are throughout the week. And yeah, you can also follow me on social media when I do post at BobbyBlackWolf.com over on the Blue Skies. So if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make this show work without the people who go above and beyond. Thank you so much for the support. You being here is really all that we ask. And apparently they're changing what they're looking at as viewbotting, and we don't pay for viewbots. So we just have legit views, and we're so thankful for all of you for being here. Thank you so much. Rob Roberts resubscribed. Thank you so much for the resubscription. Tiger Claw resubscribed. S. Jeremy Matt resubscribed for the 69th time and just said nice. And Rin Marie just resubscribed and said collective. Orange Lounge Radio will read actually what was under the beep. I won't, because I'm distinguished. So thank you so much. That is it. I'm going to hit the button and get my distinguished butt out of here in time for OLR. So thank you so much for being here. And I will see you next week, maybe earlier, here on Twitch over at Bobby Black Wolf. I don't know. Maybe I'll see you this week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.